Okay, this evening now let's try to set aside vain thoughts, and maybe for a few minutes we might be able to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ and think about Him with some glorious thoughts. I want to, don't you? I desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire to do that, but most of all, to worship Him. To worship Him. That's what this is all about. This is why we meet together. Every time we meet together for one express purpose, don't we? Worship. Worship. Oh, come. Oh, come. And let us worship. See verse 6 of Psalm 95? And that's the title of the message. Oh, come. Come. Let us worship. Let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us submit unto Him. And let us kneel before Him in our heart. I mean, prostrate in our heart. Let us kneel, bow, submit before the Lord who is our Maker. Now, this is the reason of our meeting this evening. And every time we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we're two or three are gathered together in My name. He said, I'm in the midst. The reason of our meeting together is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to teach His Word. And when that is done, I'll tell you what happens in the heart of the believer when Christ is exalted in the message of the gospel, and when it is taught from the Word of God and from the inspired record and testimony of God, when that gospel is declared, I tell you what it does in the heart of the believer. Just like it did with those two men who walked on the road to Emmaus with the Lord. And when He departed from them, after opening the Scriptures unto them, they said, didn't our heart burn within us when He opened the Word unto us? You see, when the gospel is preached, when Christ is exalted in the preaching of the gospel, it incites, it inflames, it inspires, and it stirs our hearts to worship the true and living God. We come with anticipation of worshiping our God together, and we're instructed in the Scripture to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship the true and living God. You remember the record in John chapter 4 where it says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and truth. In spirit and in truth. Now you may think me harsh, but I would venture a guess, in most churches this day, being the day that it is, Mother's Day, I bet there was a whole lot said about Mama and not a whole lot said about any kind of truth. We didn't come here today, this evening, to worship Mother. I'm thankful the Lord has provided mothers for children to be nurtured and instructed. And it's a high responsibility for a mother to be a mother to a child that is a gift of God. But my friend, I'm not harsh in saying that we've not come here to worship Mother. We've come here to worship God. And there's a whole lot of difference. We've come here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And where there's no gospel preached and no gospel truth declared, now listen to me, where there's no gospel truth declared, there's no worship. He seeketh such to worship in spirit and what? Truth. Where the truth of the gospel is denied, there is no spiritual worship. What's the flip side of worship? What's the opposite of worship? Idolatry. That's what's going on in most religious circles. And it's sad. It is a sad thing. We have made the creature the center of worship rather than the Creator. We've been sidetracked. We have been deceived. And I say we in speaking of most what we call mainstream so-called Christianity. Now, having given that introduction, the importance of worship. The importance of worship. How important is worship? Worship. Now look at verse 1, and we'll study, try to study this Psalm 95 and try to learn something about worship. True worship. Oh, come, he says. Oh, come, let us worship. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful, joyful noise, sound to the rock, the rock, the rock bed, the solid foundation of our salvation. Oh, come, let us sing. I love to sing songs that are magnifying to the blessed Lord. Turn back to Psalm 92. It mentions this singing unto the Lord. Psalm 92, look at verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. To sing praises unto the name of the Most High. Oh, Most High. He is the Most High God. Again, in Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, whenever you see that new song, what do you immediately think of? We think of that new song that's mentioned in Revelation 5, don't we? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And we sing about the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, over in Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. The song of redemption, to him who loved us, washed us from our sin in his own blood. For he hath done. He hath done. Salvation is not done. Or salvation is not due. Salvation is done. He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. We are victors. Only in the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back to the text, Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come then. Come. Don't stay away. Come. Come and let us sing. Come and let us worship. Come and make a joyful noise. Our worship should be joyful worship. Rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because He is... Now watch it. We sing and we worship and we come to the rock of our salvation. The rock. This is not sand, which is sinking sand. This is the rock bed. This is a solid rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. Christ is the rock of our salvation. Turn back to Psalm 62. He's the rock bed. He's the foundation. Solid foundation. The foundation that God has laid for us in Christ Jesus. This is the only rock. You remember Psalm 62? Turn to Psalm 62 first. He's the only rock. You see that? Psalm 62, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my rock, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in Him. Now, let's sing about that rock. Let's sing about that salvation in Christ Jesus. Turn back one page, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry. Verse 1, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. This is the high rock. Lead me to the rock. Look what it says. That's higher than I. This is the high rock that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of our salvation. Who gets all the glory? Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name. It's all the honor and the glory. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the glory of our salvation. He is the very strength of our salvation, isn't he? He is the shelter and refuge of our salvation. And we can certainly say this. He is the victory of our salvation. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 8, he said, Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us declare unto all that will hear about the sureness, the certainty-ness, the eternality of the rock of salvation. You see, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not of man. Salvation's of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now, verse 2, let us come. Let us come. Now, three times it says this here, unless I'm overlooking something. Verse 1 says, let us come. Verse 2 says, let us come. And then again, verse 6, oh, come. Come, let us come. Now watch this. Come before His presence. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. And come with a psalm of praise. Come before His presence. Now this word come, I looked it up. C-O-M-E. Means to come with haste. It means to come right now. It means to come without delay. It means to flee. It means to seek Him right now. Seek the Lord and that righteousness that is found in Christ Jesus. Seek Him now. Now watch what it says here. His presence. Seek His presence. What is His presence? It's His person. It's His face. Now, I thought of this scripture on the way down here, and I hope I've got the right one. Let's find Isaiah 63:9. I've jotted this down in Isaiah 63:9. Isaiah 63:9. It says here, come before His presence. Seek His presence. Seek His face. Come with haste before His presence. Now, watch this. Isaiah 63, you need to mark this in your Bible. Verse 9, in all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. Who is the angel of God's presence? Christ. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them and bare them and carried them all the days of old. The angel of His presence. Seek His presence. Now, it'd be wise to seek salvation where it is, wouldn't it? To seek mercy where it's found? You wouldn't seek mercy in the law, would you? For there's no mercy there. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, seek mercy where it's found. Mercy's found in Christ Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else be taken care of. God will take care of it. But seek Him. Seek Him first, foremost. Oh, come. Come with haste. Come right now. Now, can you think of some other scriptures where it talks about where the Lord says, come, come? Now, let me remind you a few. In John chapter 1, when the Lord found Philip, and Philip, when he was taught the gospel, he went out and found Nathanael. And Nathanael said, we have found the Messiah, whom the law and the prophets told us all about the coming of the Messiah. We found him. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Remember what Philip said? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. How about Isaiah 55? Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come. Come ye to the waters. Without money, without price. That's strange economics, isn't it? Come. Come to Christ. Come right now. How about Matthew 11, 28, where the Lord said, everyone that's laboring and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come. And when we think of this coming, this is not a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. Brother Mahan used to put it this way. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Don't move a muscle. That's pretty good. You see, it's a look of faith. Come to Christ. Don't move a muscle. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's coming to Him. It's not down front. It's not come down front and make a decision. That's not salvation. Salvation is not down front. Salvation is in a person. That's why He said His presence. Let's come before His presence, before His face. Seek salvation in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Come to Him. Come right now. Come and see. The Lord is gracious. And then I think of another verse over in Hebrews chapter 4. And we quote this in all the time in verse 16. But preceding that verse, it talks about the great high priest. Seeing we have a great high priest that is ascended into the heavenlies, who was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then he said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. Come. 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 And you know what? I tell you something. If you read over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know what it says? It says, to whom coming? To whom coming? You see, saving faith is not just I looked, but as it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. You see, it's a continual attitude of the heart, the mind, and the soul of that person who is a lover of Christ. We continually come to Him and look to Him, to whom coming. That makes sense? Always in our heart, a believer is anxious to come to the Lord, to seek mercy in His face. God's presence in Christ Jesus. Now, look at verse 3. Because, you see verse 3, Psalm 95, 4. 4. And a lot of times I read it this way, because. Because He's a rock of our salvation. Salvation's found in Christ, God's saving presence. Come with thanksgiving, because the Lord Jehovah is a great God. He's God our Savior. A great King. He's a great King. He's King of Kings. And He is Lord of Lords. I go back to John chapter 1 for just a minute. It's fresh on my mind because I preached from it this morning. Nathanael, when he came to the Lord, and he makes this confession before the Lord, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. The Lord our God is a great God and a great King above all. There's none above Him. He's the Most High God. Now, reasons are given here in verse 3, 4 and 5, why we should come, why we should sing, why we should rejoice, why we should come with thanksgiving to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord our God is great. You know, everything about Him, everything about our God, our great God and Savior, everything about Him is great. Is it not? Everything about Him is great. His person is great. His person. Look at Psalm 96, verse 4. For the Lord is great. His person is great. Greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. His mercy is great. Turn over here, Psalm 145. His mercy is great. Great mercy. Great mercy. Ephesians 2, I quoted it a moment ago. Look at Psalm 145, verse 8, I've got written down. In Ephesians chapter 2, when it describes all that we are by nature, children of wrath, even as others, dead in sin, without God, without hope, without Christ, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now, Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. His mercy is great. His mercy is great. His mercy is great, great mercy. For His great mercy wherewith He loved us. Turn to Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. You see that, Psalm 103, verse 8? Plenteous in mercy. How plenteous is He? Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. Boy, that's mercy. That's great mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgression from us. That's great mercy. You see, everything about the gospel is great. His person is great. His mercy is great. His love is great. His grace. It says in Acts chapter 4 that great grace was upon them. His grace is great, isn't it? Sovereign grace, sovereign mercy. You can't exhaust the greatness of His grace, the greatness of His salvation. How about His salvation? You remember Hebrews 2, where it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? See, everything about Him and His salvation is great. Every blessing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's great blessing, is it not? How can we not come with thanksgiving? How can we not come with rejoicing in our heart? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. I like the way Paul writes of the blessed Redeemer. He's our great God and Savior. Verse 4 and 5, He's our great Creator. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. In His hand, the hand of God. I think of that scripture over there in Daniel chapter, was it Daniel chapter 4? When Nebuchadnezzar was taught that lesson of who God is, our God is in the heavens, He's done whatsoever, none can stay His hand, for saying to Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? In Psalm 135, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. Is there any place where God doesn't reign and rule, where His absolute rule and reign is not exercised? He has His dominion is, what is that Psalm 72 where it talks about His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His dominion is from sea to sea. deep places, the high places. Look what it says there in Psalm 95:4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth and the high places of the earth. Everything is in His hand. The sea is His. You think of the vast oceans, the deep oceans, the vastness of it, all the creatures in the oceans, all the vastness of the oceans. He made it. He made it. That's great. He's our great Creator. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come and let us worship. Our blessed God and Savior is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Supplier, the Sovereign Lord of all creation. All things, He created all things. It says in Colossians chapter 1. All things were made by Him and for Him, for His glory. And by Him all things, you ever look at that word, by Him all things consist. Now, the order of this universe is exact. You ever notice that? I mean, it's exact. Winter comes on a certain day, and it comes on that day every year. Summer comes on a certain day, and it comes that day every year. This whole universe has an exact order, and it's ordered and sustained by God Almighty. The moon, the sun, this whole solar system, the universe. God is not in the universe. The universe is in Him. All deep places. Now, that incites our heart to worship. Can you exalt our God too much? Can you give Him too much praise and honor and glory? I'd like to be guilty of doing so. Wouldn't you? Yeah, that preacher just gave too much glory to Christ in salvation. Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? I thought, well, I desire that in the preaching of the gospel, to give Him all honor and glory and shut out every creature merit. May we not wiggle one finger in the face of God and say, look what we've done. We've done nothing. We've done nothing. God who hath begun a good work in you. Whose work in it? God who hath begun a good work in you will finish it. We'll finish it in the day of His coming, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6. Oh, come. He kind of sets the table for worship here, doesn't he? Oh, come. Oh, come. Don't stay away now. Come. Let us worship. Let us bow down. And let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, I've jotted down this question, and it's a question worthy to meditate upon. What is true worship? What is true worship? Something to think about. I've jotted down this answer, though it's not a complete answer, but it is some answer. What is true worship? Recognizing by His grace, acknowledging by His power who God is, almighty, holy, merciful, just. Recognizing and seeing God as He's revealed Himself in Holy Scripture as almighty, just, and merciful. He's a just God and Savior. And bowing down in reverence and submission before Him. You see, true worship, now think about this. True worship is not born of ignorance. You see, ignorant worship is what? Idolatry. True worship is not ignorant worship. We, as Paul said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. True worship is born of true knowledge of God as He's revealed in the Word of God. Worship. Now, let me show you a few places here in the Psalms where it mentions worship. Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we can worship. The only way we can come before God in Christ Jesus. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of Christ. Again, in Psalm 97, look over there. Psalm 97, verse 7. Psalm 97 says in verse 6, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship Him. Worship Him, all ye gods. Worship Him. Worship Him alone. Now look at Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Again in Psalm 99, verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Worship Him who is holy. You remember Philippians chapter 3 when the Apostle Paul talks about worship, about the true being, the true Israel of God. He said, we are they who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we have a reason given here. He's our Maker. Look what it says in verse 6. Oh, come and worship and bow down. We ought to worship our Maker. Our Maker. Kneel before Him. He is our Maker. Now, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, not we ourselves. He made us, not we ourselves. People boast, you know, especially those people who have achieved some kind of financial success, and they say, well, I'm a self-made millionaire. Big deal. Are you really now? Who gave you the health and strength and mind, huh? What would you be without God's mercy? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us. I am what I am by the grace of God. Not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now enter into His presence with thanksgiving. You see, come and worship and bow down. He is our Creator. He is our Maker. He is our Maker. Now in the original creation, He's our Maker. God said, let us make man in our image and in our own likeness. And in the original creation, the Lord is our Maker. But how about in the new creation? Who's our Maker? Huh? Did we make ourselves? Is something we did? Oh, no. You see, the Lord is our Maker in this business of regeneration. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am what I am by the grace of God. We have been made partakers of a divine nature. Where'd you get that divine nature? Huh? God given, isn't it? Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Partakers of a divine nature. Now look at verse 7. I've got to wind this up. Look at verse 7. He is our God. He's God our Savior. I like the way it says over and over again in Isaiah, I am God. Beside me there is no other. I am God, the only just God and Savior. He is our God. And you know what? He's made us His people. We are His people. We are His, the people of His choice. The people of His pasture. You see, He's the good shepherd. He shepherds over His sheep. We're the sheep of His hand. The sheep of His hand. Hear His voice. And His sheep do. Our Lord said that in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they do follow. They do follow me. He is our God. He's God over all, blessed forever. The Lord Jesus Christ called His name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. God with us. Therefore we love Him. Therefore we desire to worship Him. We are the people of His pasture. We are the people of His field. As He belongs to us, so do we belong to Him. In the Song of Solomon we read, my beloved is mine and I am His. We are the sheep of His hand. I like that phrase. We are the sheep of His hand. Who put us in His hand? God Almighty chose us in that covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the great shepherd of the sheep, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant accomplished our salvation. He's called the good shepherd of the sheep, who laid down His life to purchase us, to put away our sin, to bring us the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And He's the chief shepherd. It says that in Scripture. He's the chief shepherd who shall come again and receive us unto Himself. And the sheep will hear His voice. They know not the voice of a stranger. Those who say they are His people, His sheep, and will not hear the shepherd's voice, and will not hear the shepherd's gospel. Our Lord said, you believe me not, because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they do follow me.